Oh, I was just going to say that. Okay, yeah. Good morning. Today's shiur is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of their son, Yomi, Yosef Menachem Zalben Gershon, and the weekly breakfast, which should be here soon, I guess, is sponsored by Bagel Munch. We have Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev and Fega Bas Chaim. We're doing Tainus Daf Chaf Dawud. We'll start on the very last line of Chaf Gimel Amid Beis, where it says, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin have a shchiach kamed Rabbi Yossi d'min Yukris. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin used to learn in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yossi d'min Yukris. He used to learn by him. Shavke, he decided to leave him, v'asal kamed Rav Ashi, and he went to learn by Rav Ashi. Yumachad shamed d'kagaris. And one day he heard that he was learning the following. Rashi has two versions. We'll go with the second one because it flows better. So Rav Yossi Bar Avin, who was now the Talmud of Rav Ashi, he heard that Rav Ashi was learning the following halacha. Amar Shmuel, he quoted Shmuel as saying, Hashoa dag min hayam b'shabes kevin shiyavish bo kesela chayev. If someone pulls a fish out of the sea, Rashi points out, we're talking about it's where it's ein mechusar tzeda. The fish is already trapped. So we're not talking about an issue of tzeda. We're not talking about performing the malacha of tzeda. But the problem is that if you pull it out of the water, what happens to the fish? It's going to die at some point. And so you're going to be over the iser of shchita, basically, of killing a live animal, if you leave it out long enough. But if, as we all know, if you pull a fish out of water, it could, you know, flop around, and you could put it back in and it'll live. So at what point are you guilty, are you chayev in the iser of shchita? By pulling it out. So it says here, Shmuel said, Kevin Shiyavish Boka Sela, as long as a Sela's worth on its skin is apparently dried out, then you know that you've taken it out long enough so that even if it's still being Mefarches, even though it's still flapping around, if you put it back in the water at that point, you're already Chayev. It's already too late. Amar Le, so Rav...
And you wouldn't be chayev
because the fish is going to still live. It's only if you pull it out for a while that it's going to die that you're chayev. So Amar Le, so Rav Ashi said, so Rav Yossi Bar Avin said to Rav Ashi, who was teaching the Salacha, V'lema mar ubein snapirav. So he kind of modified it and he said, well, that's true that it's got to be dried out like a sela, but it's got to be dried out between the scales. Meaning, if it's just on the surface, that's not enough. It's that it's dried out between the scales. So Amar Le, the Rav Ashi, who had been teaching this halacha, said, "V'lo sover lamar dahi Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Avin Amra." So he said, "That is true. What you did, the halacha you just pointed out, but you should have pointed it out in the name of its author, Rabbi Yossi ben Rav Avin, ben Rabbi Avin." Right? So Amar Le, so he immediately said, Anah Niyu. The reason I didn't quote it in the name of its author is because I'm the author. I am Rabbi Yossi Bar Ben Rav Avin. That's how he introduced himself to Rav Ashi, his new Rebbe. So Amar Le, so Rav Ashi was confused and he said, V'lav kamed Rabbi Yossi d'min Yukris hava shchiach? I thought you were a Talmud of Rabbi Yossi d'min Yukris. Didn't you always learn in his yeshiva? What are you doing here? I didn't expect to see you here. I have a shchiach mar that you were always there. Amar Le Hain. So he said, yes, that's true. I am a Talmud, or I was a Talmud of Rav Yossi d'min Yukris. I always learned there, but now I'm here. Amar Le Umay Taima Shavke Mar V'Asacha. So he said, why did you leave your Rebbe, Rav Yossi d'min Yukris, and come here? Amar Le Gavra Da'al Brevi Al Barse Lo Chas Alay Didi Hechi Chayas. He said, a Rebbe like Rav Yossi d'min Yukris, who is not compassionate on his own son and daughter, how could I expect him to be compassionate on me? Meaning, I wanted to have a Rebbe, I want to learn by a Rebbe who's compassionate, who's going to care about his Talmidim. And if he doesn't care about his own son and daughter, how can I expect that he's going to care about me? So, Brei Mahi, so what Gemara now says, what was the story? Why, in what sense was Rav Yossi d'min Yukris not compassionate on his son? Here's the story. Yumachad, Havu agrile agire bedabra. So one day, Rav Yossi d'min Yukris would hire workers to work in his field. Nagaluhu v'lo aisi luhu rifta. So he got delayed. Rav Yossi d'min Yukris, who would typically bring their lunch to them, bring their food to them, he got delayed, and he wasn't able to bring their bread. He wasn't able to bring their food. Amru le lebrei, and so the workers said to the son of Rav Yossi d'min Yochris, who was there watching them, who was there, they said to him, Kafninan, please feed us. You know, we're hungry. We need our meal. So havu yasvi tusei te'inasa. They happened to be sitting underneath a fig tree. Amar, and the son of Rav Yossi d'min Yochris said, Te'ena, te'ena, fig tree, hotsi perosecha, v'yochu po'alei abba. Let your fruits grow and fall, meaning he's davening for a miracle, basically. Let the fruits fall, let the fruits grow and fall, and feed the workers of my father. And what happened? Afiku, that happened, they grew and they fell off, v'achlu, and the workers ate. Adahachi, v'hachi, asavua. In the meantime, the father of Yossi the Minyukris came back to the field. He showed up. Amar Luhu, and he said to the workers, he felt bad that he had been late and he had missed their meal. He knew that they was late and hadn't fed them. So Amar Luhu, he said to them, Lo tinakdu b'dataychu d'hai nahagna amitzvah tarachna. He said, don't be angry at me. Don't be upset. The fact that I missed your meal, that I wasn't able to feed you. I was performing a mitzvah. That's why I'm late. And it took me this long to get here. So Amruei, so they said to him, Rachmanu ishbeacha keichi de aspen brach. So they said to him, no, don't worry. Hashem should feed you. Hashem should satisfy, should satiate you, just like your son satiated us. So he was surprised. He said, oh, that's great. I'm so happy my son took care of you. Amruhu meicha. So he said, where did my son get food to feed you? How did that all work out? So Amru, hachi v'hachi hava maisa. So they said, this was the story, the whole story with the son davening that the tree should give forth its fruit, and it fed us, and it all ended all well. So Amru lo, so Rav Yossi d'min Yochris was very upset, and he said to his son, Bini, my son, atoy trachta es konecha lohotzi te'ina peroseh shelo bizmana. You bothered Hashem. You dove into Hashem for an extraordinary miracle in a situation that really didn't require a miracle. You could have gone down the store and bought some food. You've gone down the street and bought some food. You could have waited for me to come. This wasn't such a dire circumstance where you should have relied on a miracle, and yet you asked Hashem to perform an extraordinary miracle and to have these fruits grow outside of their time or ahead of their time. So therefore, ye asef shelo bizmano. So he said, you should be collected, meaning you should be killed before your time, which is kind of a harsh reaction of a father to a son, especially. And so that's what turned off Rav Yossi Bar Oven to his Rebbe, Rav Yossi d'min Yochris. He said, if my Rebbe could be this harsh on his own son, I don't want any part of his yeshiva. He's not going to be very compassionate to his Talmidim. Well, yeah, I guess that's a side lesson you can learn from this, that it is important to feed people on time and pay your workers on time. Agreed. But still, to daven for a miracle like this, he was upset. But his reaction was kind of extreme.
He was defending his father, on the other hand, of being over the fact that the guys weren't fed.
Yeah, clearly, he seemed to have good intentions. Anyway, that was the story with the son of Rav Yossi d'min Yochris, how he wasn't compassionate on his son. How was he not compassionate on his daughter? Barse mahi. What was the story with his daughter? Havile barsa balas yofi. So Rav Yossi d'min Yochris had a daughter who was very attractive. Yumachad chazya lahu gavra davakarya behutza. He saw, Rav Yossi d'min Yochris one day saw a guy who lived across the street who had cut a hole in his bushes, in his shrubs, and he was looking through his shrubs at Rav Yossi d'min Yochris' daughter. So Amar lo, so he said to him, my hi, what are you doing? Why are you cutting a hole in your shrubs? So Amar le, so the neighbor said, Rebbe, my master, im lo'okha lo zachisi, if I didn't merit to marry your daughter, lirosa lo eska, at least I should be able to take a look. At least I should be able to take a peek. So Amar La, so he immediately Rav Yossi d'min Yochris said to his daughter, Biti kamatzaris luhu lebriyasa, shuvi lo afareich, v'alikash lubeich b'nei Adam. So he said, my daughter, you're causing problems for Hashem's creations, meaning you're being nichshel, you're being machshel, this guy, this neighbor, to look at you because you're attractive. Therefore, you should go back to your dust, meaning you should die, and people should not be tempted into sin as a result of you, which is, again, an extremely harsh reaction from a father to a son, to a daughter. And therefore, that's what caused Rav Yossi Bar Oven to leave the yeshiva of Rav Yossi Bar Minyukras and go to learn by Rav Ashi. Okay. And the Bach adds V'kachava, and that happened. In fact, his daughter passed away as a result of his direction, his, you know, his curse that she should die. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Havileyahu Chamra. So he had a certain donkey, kidahavu agrule koyumo, and he would rent out the donkey. The donkey would perform tasks for other people. Uyurta, and at night, at the end of the day, havu mishajriwa agra agaba. So the people who had rented the donkey for the day would send the donkey back to the owner and would put the rent, the payment for the day's work of the donkey, on the back of the donkey. And that's how the donkey would take the payment back to the master, v'asila beimara, and it would bring the payment back to the owner. V'tafula obatsrila, but if there was too little money left or too much money left, lo asya. So the donkey would know that it was underpaid or overpaid, and the donkey would wait until the proper amount was put on his back, and then he would go back to his master. It's a pretty clever donkey. So yumachad, one day, inshu zuga de sandali ala. Someone accidentally left a pair of shoes on the back of the donkey, the go azla, right? The donkey wasn't about to go with someone else's shoes on his back. He was waiting until the shoes would azla, and it didn't go until the person took off the shoes that were accidentally left on it, v'hadar azla, and then it went. So that was the story of the donkey. Okay. Elazar, next story. Elazar ish Birsa, Elazar from Birsa, kidahavu chazule gabayt staka havutashu minei. When the people in the marketplace or ever anywhere would see him, they would run away from him. Why? Dekomai dahava gabe yahiv luhu. Because they knew that he would give them all his money. He was so so focused on giving all his money up. So these money collectors, the Gabai Tztaka, who would collect money, they knew to stay away from him because they felt bad that he would unload all his money on them. I guess these were Gabai Tztaka, they were on a pretty high level. But they would run away so as not to tempt him to unload all his money on them. Yumachad, one day, have a salak l'shuka l'mizban dunya l'barse. So one day, Elazar ish Birsa went to the marketplace in order to buy stuff for his daughter who was getting married. Chazyuhu gabayit staka tashuminei. The gabayit staka who were collecting staka, they saw him and they started running away. Azol varad basrayu. He started running after them. Amar lehu, so he said to them, ashpisichu b'maya askisu. Tell me, I swear to you, meaning I beg of you, tell me, what are you collecting for? What's your collection for today? So Amruei, so they said to him, Biyasom Viyasoma. They said, we're collecting for a Yasom, an orphan, and a boy orphan, and a girl orphan who are getting married. We're collecting for their wedding. So Amar Lahen, so he said to them, Ha'avoda Shein Kodmin Lubiti. Certainly they, a Yasom and a Yasoma, are poor, and they need the money for their wedding. So their needs precede the needs of my own daughter. And therefore, shakol kol dahava badei. So he gave v'yavlu. He took all the stuff that he all the money he had in his pocket. V'yavlu, he gave it to them. The Marsha asks how this can be, because we all know aniyei yircha kodman, right? There's halacha that when you are giving tzedakah, even so, the aniyim in your own city take precedence, and certainly, says the Marsha, all the more so, the aniyim of your own family take precedence. So the Marsha assumes that this was all the money he had on him then, but he had more money at home. It wasn't, you know, going to completely wipe him out. But in any event, Pashle Chad Zuza. And so he had one Zuz left, at least at the marketplace, according to the Marsha. He had one Zuz left, And so therefore, Zavon, what's the gemal? Zavon Bechiti, he bought a little bit of wheat, Va'asik, and he left. Shadje Ba'achlovan, he brought it home and he put it in the storehouse. Asoid the Bitu, and now his daughter, Amra La Lebarse, he said to his wife, meaning to her mother, the mother said to the daughter, "My Aisi Avuch, what did your father bring home?" Right from the marketplace. So Amra La, so the daughter said to the mother, "Kol Mada Aisi Ba'achlova Shadise," whatever he brought home, he threw it to the storehouse. So Asio Lemiftach Baba Da'achlova. So she went to the door of the storehouse, Chazas Achlova Demal Yachiti, and she saw that the whole storehouse was filled with grain, V'kanafka Betzinura, and it was flowing out of the gutters. It was so much that was Betzinura D'dasha, V'lamiftach Bava Michiti, and so much so that she couldn't even open the door. So by this time, Rav Lazar Ish Birsa was back in the Beis Medrash. So Azla Barse lo Beis Medrash. So she went to the Beis Medrash to find her father, Amrulay, and she said to him, "Bor e ma'aselcha o'avecha, come and see what your lover, so to speak, what Hashem did for you. This miracle that Hashem did. You gave all your money to tzedakah. You used the one zuz you had left and bought a little grain and you threw it into the storehouse. And now the storehouse is filled with grain. It was a miracle that had taken place. So she said, come and see what Hashem did for you. So Amar La, so he said to her, Ha'avoda harein hektish alecha, ve'imcha bahen elka echad ne'aniya Yisrael. So he said, this is the product of the miracle, and so therefore it's hektish, it's consecrated, and so you only have a right to use this as if you were one of the aniya Yisrael. It's not clear if they were genuine aniyim, so he was saying to her, you can use this stuff, it's just that you're only allowed to use it because you're an ani. But if you weren't an ani, you wouldn't be allowed to use it because he didn't want to benefit from hektish, from something that Hashem had given him, or if he was actually, stopping her from using it. Okay, next story. Rav Yehuda Nesia Gazer Tanisa. So Rav Yehuda Nesia was a time where they needed rain, and so Rav Yehuda Nasi made a tainus. He made a fast. Bayrachme v'lo asa mitra. He davened and no rain came. Amar kama ika mishmuel haramasi Yehuda ben Gamliel. Oili Lidor Shekin Nitka, Oili Lamish also Byamov Kach. So he says, look at the difference between me and Shmuel, Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel davened for rain even in the middle of the summer, and it came. And I'm davening for rain, and nothing is happening. So Oili Lidor Shekin Nitka, Oili Lamish also Byamov Kach. So he says, this is a commentary on me or on my generation. It's terrible that Hashem is not answering our prayers. Cholesh Daite, as a result of this this thought process, he got really, really upset. He got really weak, and that resulted in rain coming. Vasa Mitra. Okay, next story. Devei Nesia, Gazer Tanisa. So the Nasi made a Tainis. V'lo de'inu l'Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish. And they didn't tell Rabbi Yochanan l'Reish Lakish that it was a fast day. With Safra. And in the morning, Ode Inhu, they found out, someone told them that it was a fast day. Amrali Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yochanan, Halo Kabilna Alan Meorta. The problem is that when you accept a fast day, you have to accept it, as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, it has to be accepted earlier from Mincha of the previous day. We didn't accept this fast day from yesterday. So Amrali, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, Anon Basrayu Garinan, this was Garinan de Benesia Gazer Tanisa. We were not the ones who accepted this as a private fast. This is more of a public fast. The Beit Nesia made the fast day, and therefore they accepted it, and we follow their lead, and we could accept the Tainus even without having. We can commemorate the Tainus. We could observe the Tainus, even though we didn't personally accept it on the day before at Mincha. I'm sorry, I read a few extra words. Anan Bar Srayu Garina. We follow them, and therefore we could do the Tainus. Next story is the Bei Nesia Gazer Tainisa. Another situation, another story where the Nasi made a Tainis. V'lo'asa Mitra, it didn't work. No rain came. Tana Luhu Ushia Zira Demin Chavre. So Ushia, the small Ushia, Rashi points out that there was a older Ushia. So this was the younger Ushia. So he quoted the Pasuk Vaya Im Me'ene and Eidah Nesa Ishkaga. So he said, he quotes the pasuk in Bamidbar, in Sefer Minbar, which talks about a situation where the Nasi makes a mistake and they have to bring a par helam davar shel tzibur. They have to bring a certain karban to make up for the mistake that the leaders of the generation had made. So he says, mashal kala. So this, he's doing this, they're all saying this, or he's saying this as a way of saying that it's because of the failings of the leadership of the community that we're not zocha for rain. So he says that, he quoted a pasuk, which has this idea that generally speaking, that tzibur has to atone for the failings of the leadership. And he says that this halacha, or this concept, is based on the following mashal. Mashal akala shiba beis avia. This is a mashal for a bride who lives in her father's house. Kolzman sheina yafos, ein kol gufa tzricha bedika. If you look at her face and her eyes are attractive, then you don't have to look at the rest of her body. It's kind of a crass mashal, but be it as it may, if you look at her face, you don't have to look at the rest of her body. However, eina trutos, if her eyes are forlorn, then kol gufa tzricha bedika. Then you have to check the rest of the body. As if to say that the leaders of the generation are where you have to look. If the leadership of the generation is okay, then it doesn't matter as much as to the virtues of the rest of the people. But if the leaders are faulty, then you have to go to the rest of the people and see what their virtues are in order to judge the generation. The point is that he was saying that it's the leadership that's faulty, and that's why we're not getting rain. Fine. But this was a negative message he was sending, right? And therefore, asu about the leadership. So asu avde. So the servants of the reishko of the dvenasia came. Vramule sudra b'savare v'kametzarule. They put a handkerchief around his neck and they were tormenting him. They were bothering him because they thought that he had said something offensive. So amru luhu. So he said to them, bnei maasya shavke. I'm sorry. Amru Lahu B'nei Maasya, the people in that town said to the Avadim of the Beinasiya who were tormenting him, Shafke, let him go, Danami Mitzar Lun, because he's also bothering us, meaning he also said negative things about us. Kevin to Khazina to call Miwe Lushum Shamayim Wa Amriwe Vlomidi Vishavkina Lahu. But after we saw that everything he said is l'shem shemayim, even though he was saying negative things about us, but it was all l'shem shemayim, we didn't bother him, and therefore you should let him go. And therefore, asunami shavkuhu, therefore also you should let him go as well. Okay, next story. Rebbe gazer tanisa v'lasimitra. Rebbe made a tainis because rain wasn't coming, and it didn't work. The rain still continued not to come. So nachas kamei ilfa. So he went to ilpa, v'amri lo Rebbe ilpa. He went to Ilfa, some say Rabbi Ilfa. If we had a few daftim ago, the story of Ilfa. Ilfa was the one who went to the mast of the ship, right? It was the whole story with Ilfa, I think it was Ilfa and Rav Yochanan, whoever it was. So Amar Mashiv HaRuach. So Ilfa said Mashiv HaRuach. He davened to Hashem that the wind should come, Vinasha Zika. And the wind came. Morid HaGeshem. And then he said Morid HaGeshem Ve'asa Mitra. And the rain came. Amr Lei, Mayuvdach. So he said, how did you pull this off? What's the merit by which you accomplished this? Amr Lei, Dayarna Bekusta Dechika, Deles Bechamra Lekidusha Vyavdalta. He said, I live in a very poor village where it's so poor that they don't even have wine for Kiddush and Havdalah. Tarachna Vasina Chamra Lekidusha Vyavdalta. And I go out of my way and I make it my business to get wine for Kiddush and Avdallah, umafiknu luhu yidei chavosayu, and I say Kiddush and Avdallah for the townspeople. That's the merit by which I merited this ability to daven for rain, and it would immediately come. Next story. Rav iklo lahu asra. So Rav went to, appeared in a certain town. He went to a certain, visited a certain town. Gazar tanisa v'lo asa mitra. There had been a drought, it wasn't raining, and so he made a tainus, he announced a fast day, and that didn't work, v'lasa mitra, and rain wasn't coming. So nachas kamei shlicha de tzibura, so he went in front of the shlich tzibur, amar mashiv haruach, he said, the wind should come, right, he davened that the wind should come, v'nashav zika, and it came. Amar morid ageshem v'asa mitra, and he said morid ageshem, and then the rain came. So amar lei mai uvdach, so he said to him, how did you pull this off, and what merit were your prayers answered? Amr Lei, Mikre Dardikeana. He said, I am a teacher of children. This is what the Shulach Tzibur said. I am the teacher of children. I'm a Rebbe in a Cheder. And I treat the poor students just as well as I treat the rich students. I teach them all equally. And anyone who can't pay for my services, I teach them Torah without being paid. And not only that, but I have a pond of fish, and whenever a kid is misbehaving, I bribe him from my pond of fish. This was apparently a special treat for the children to be able to grab a fish from the pond and get a fresh fish for lunch. Sushi, right. Exactly. And I set it up for him. And I, as a result of that, I win the kid over. Until the kid reads, having been rewarded by the fish. Next story. Rav Nachman gazar ta'anisa. Rav Nachman made enacted a ta'anis. Ba rachmi v'lo asa mitra. He davened and no rain came. Amar shaklu l'Nachman. This is again. This is Rav Nachman was the one who did this, and so he said in third person. He was talking. Shaklu l'Nachman chavutu min gudo la'ara. So he said, kind of as a self-flagellation kind of thing, he said, take Nachman, and take me, and throw me from the wall onto the ground. He was kind of speaking out in a way that was very harsh about himself. As a result, Chalash Daite, his own strength weakened, because he was so upset by the circumstance he found himself in and by what he had said, and that resulted in Asamitra. That resulted in the rain coming. Next story. Rabba gozar tanisa. So Rabba made a tainis, again, because it wasn't raining. Ba'irachami v'lasamitra. He davened that no rain was coming. Amrulei. So they said to him, V'harav Yehuda, ki hava gozar tanisa asamitra. So they said, Rabbi Yehuda, when he made a tainis, it worked. So why doesn't it work for you? Amrulehu. So he said to them, Maya avid. What should I do? I'm not sure how to account for the fact that when Rabbi Yehuda made a tainis, it worked, and when I make a tainis, it didn't. Imishim tanuyei, if it's because Rabbi Yehuda was a better learner than me, or the people in his generation learned more Torah than me, anana adefinan minayu, that's not true. I learn Torah more than they do. Divishneid Rabbi Yehuda, because in the times of Rabbi Yehuda, kol tanuyei benezikin hava. Most of their learning was in Seder Nezikin, the laws of torts and the laws of damages. Vanan, as opposed to me in my generation, Kamasninan Bishisa Sidrin. I have a diversity of learning. I learn across all Shisha Sidri Mishnah. Not only that, the Chiavamati Rabbi Yehuda Buktzin, Rabbi Yehuda was focused on Nezikin, and so therefore when he'd get to the end of Mishnah, he's in Uktzin. And he got to this very complicated halacha about tumah and whether treating one area of food is going to result in whether the other part of the food is going to be mekamal tumah. So he got to this mission of Aisha Shekavashas Yerek Bekadera Vamriwa, and other people say it was the mission of Zesim Shekavsham Betrafeim Tehorin. So Amar, when Rabbi Yehuda would get to that Mishnah, Amar, he would say, Havayos Derav Shmuel Kachazinan. He would say, this is as complicated as the machloksin of Rav and Shmuel. Kachazin and Hacha. Vanan, and I, kamasninam buktsin tleiser mesifta. And I, in my place where I live, I have 13 separate yeshivos where they're learning uktsin, where they're learning mesmesechta. So I don't understand, again, why my merit is less than that of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was not as learned as me in my generation. And not only that, v'ilu Rav Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda, kial v'sholef chad misana asi mitra. When he would just take off one of his shoes, then the rain would come. The Maharsha points out that pulling off your shoe was kind of a very effective way of davening for rain, because if you think of what the inuyim are, a Yom Kippur, right, the chamesh inuyim, so the only one that you can kind of do in an instant, in public, to kind of, as a rallying cry, is to take off your shoe, right? All the not eating, not drinking, those are all passive acts. Taking off your shoe, you can make a show of that. So Rabbi Yehuda, he would take off one shoe, and as a result of that act, the rain would start coming. Va'anan and I katzav chinan kuayuma, and I daven and I cry all day, v'leka da'ashkach ban, and no one listens to me, meaning Hashem doesn't answer my prayers, no rain comes. And then he's continuing his speech, imishim uvda, and if it's you think it's because Rav Yehuda had better deeds than me, and I somehow have bad deeds, ika dechaza midi, if there's anyone out there who's seen me do anything bad, lema, so he should report it. Aval ma yasu gedolei hador shein doren doma yafa. So he says, what should I do? Meaning it's not because I am any worse than Rav Yehuda, but it's because our door is not on the same level. And therefore there's nothing I could do. Rav Yehuda's prayers were answered immediately, and my prayers are not answered immediately. Fine. Rav Yehuda chaza hano beitrei dahavu kaparzi berifta. So Rav Yehuda saw two people who were playing with a loaf of bread. They were having catch with a loaf of bread. So Amar, so he mistakenly concluded from that, Shema mina, I see from that, ika sava ba'alma. It must be that people are satiated. If they're already having catch with a loaf of bread, that means that they're not taking their food too seriously. It means that things are okay in terms of the rain, in terms of food. Yikasavma Yahav Eina, and so he looked, right, he saw Yahav Eina Hava Kafna. What is that thing?
He looked in anger.
I guess he was upset about the fact that they were playing with their bread. So Amru Lei Rabbanan Rav Kahana Braid Rav Nechunya.
So they brought a famine when he
played. Oh, Yavina Hava Kafna, that resulted in a famine. Okay. So Amru Lei Rabbanan Rav Kahana Braid Rav Nechunya Shemaya. So the Rabbanan said to Rav Kahana, the son of Rav Nechunya, who happened to be the attendant of Rabbi Yehuda. He was the one who kind of told Rabbi Yehuda where to go. He accompanied Rabbi Yehuda where he went, different places. So he said to him, Shami Demar, he was the attendant of Rabbi Yehuda, the Shchiach Kameh, he would always be with him. Niasayu, Delefuk, Bepischa, Desamach, Lashukka. He said, arrange for Rabbi Yehuda to please go to the door where the entrance of the Shuk, the entrance of the marketplace is, so he could see what's really going on in the world. So Asya, so he did that, Vinafak Lashukka, and he came to the marketplace. Chaza Kanufya, and he saw a crowd around something. So Amr Lehu, Maihai. So he said to him, what is this? What's this crowd gathered for? What are they doing? So Amr Lehi, Akusva de Tamri Kaimi. They're gathered around a basket or a container of dates, right? And the idea is that they're kind of, it's unusual to see food in the marketplace because there's a famine going on and everyone's going crazy. There's a whole crowd gathered around this one package of dates. The Kamizdabin that's being sold. So Amar, so he said, Shma mina kafna biyama. So he realized as a result of that there was a famine. Things were not as good as he thought they were. So Amar lay with Shmaya, so he said to his attendant, his servant, Shlof li misanai. Take off one of my shoes. Again, this was a way for him to demonstrate in a kind of compelling way his tefilos and the fact that he was upset. So shalof lechad misana va'asa mitra. He took off one of his shoes and immediately it started to rain. That was an answer to his prayers. Kimata l'mishlo fachrina. He was about to take off his other shoe, because I guess maybe to get more rain to make sure that the famine would really go away. So asa Elio. All of a sudden Elio, a navi came. V'amr lei, and he said to him, Hakadosh Baruch. V'amr lei, he said to him, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem has said, Yishalof sachrina. If you take off your other shoe, that's going to be such a compelling prayer, such a inspiring prayer that Hashem is going to be so moved to destroy the whole world as a result of your torment. The fact that you're moved to take off two shoes and to show that things are so bad, that's going to cause Hashem to just go overboard, so to speak, and destroy the whole world. So he said, don't take off the other shoe, just stick with one shoe for now. Okay, Amar Rav Mari Brod Bas Shmuel, Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said the following, Ana hana ka'imna aguda de nahar papa, I was on the rivers, the banks of that river. Chazayu malachi diidmu l'malchi. And I saw malachim, I saw angels that looked like sailors, to kamaisu chala, that they were bringing sand, they were bringing a boatload of sand, umalunhu la'aravi, and they would fill up the boat with the sand, vavakimcha disamida, and the sand miraculously was turning into flour when they did that. Vyamina luhu. V'asu kulei alma v'mizban, and everyone was coming to buy that grain. So Amr luhu mehalo tiznavnun. I said to them, don't buy from that grain, demaisen isimhu, because that is the product of a nace, and it's better not to benefit directly from a nace. You're better off benefiting from something that's more natural. And l'machar asyon aravi d'chiti d'parzina. And tomorrow, people are bringing, meaning there's going to be a more natural occurrence where a regular ship will come and bring a boatload of rice. So he said, wait for the non-miraculous rice to come and eat from there. Okay, next story. Rava ikol agrunya. So Rava came to the place called Agrunya. Gazar tanisa v'lasa mitra. There was a famine. He made a tainis. He made a fast day. And that didn't work. The rain didn't come. Amr luhu. Amr lu bito. So his daughter said to him, kulei alma betani saichu. So she said to him, everyone's fasting. L'machar amr luhu mi'ika d'chaza chilma. So the next day he said, he made an announcement, he said, mi'ika d'chaza chilma leima. He said, anyone who had a dream last night, tell it over. Amr hu Rav Elazar me'agrunya. So Rav Elazar from Agrunya said, I had a dream with didi akaryon b'chalme, and it was recited to me in my dream, meaning I was dreaming, and in my dream, it was someone was saying to me, shalom tav, l'rav tav, merivon tav. Shalom aleichem, meaning hello, to a good rabbi, merivon tav, from a good master, from Hashem. Dimituvya mativ le'ame, that from his good, he's giving to his nation. So Amar, Rava responded, Shma Mina, we see from this dream that you just recited, Eis Ratzon, hey, this is a time of Ratzon, that Hashem is going to listen to our prayers, Mi Boi Rachmi, and it's suitable to daven, it's a good time to daven. So Boi Rachmi, they davened Ve'asa Mitra, and it worked. That dream predicted the fact that it was an Eis Ratzon and that their tefillos would be answered. Ho gavra di chayev nagda bebeidina de Rava. So mishum de bal kusis. So there was a certain person who was chayev malchus, who the bezdin of Rava was going to give malchus to because he had relations with a non-Jew. So nagde Rava umayas. So Rava gave him malchus and he died as a result. Ishtama milsa be shavur malka. So the royal leadership, the shavur malka, heard that this had happened, that Rava had essentially given the death penalty to someone. That was something that the leadership, that this, you know, the malchus didn't like, the king didn't like. So ba'i utzaru rego Rava, and they wanted to bother Rava. Amrulei Ifra Hormiz ime de shavur malka. So Ifra Hormiz, who was the mother of the Shavar Malka of the king, said Libra to her son, Lo ehava lach esek dvarim bada yudai. She said, don't bother the Jews. Don't start up with the Jews. Why? De koman debayin mimarayhu yahiv lehu. Because they, whatever they daven for, Hashem gives them. Their master gives them. So if you start bothering the Jews, they're going to daven to Hashem that Hashem should bother you. It's going to be bad for your kingship. Leave the Jews alone. Even though Rava had resulted in the death of this person, just leave him alone. So Amrala, so he said to her, he said to his mother, Mahi, what's this, what do you mean that Hashem always listens to their prayers? What's an instance of that? What are you talking about? So she said, Bain Rachame Va'asim Mitra. So she said, no, they dive into Hashem and rain comes. It's a real thing. So Amrala, so he said to his mother, Hahu Mishum Dezimna Dimitrahu. What are you talking about? You can't prove from the fact that people daven for rain and then it rains the next day that Hashem is listening to their prayers. It's because it was going to rain anyway. Ella, so he said, if you really want to test the Jews, now it's the summertime. Let them daven for rain now in the summertime. And let's see if it rains as a result of those tefillos. So the mother of the Shavar Malka, Ifra Hurmez, sent a message to Rava, Kavein Daitcha Uboy Rachame Delese Mitra. She said, let me give you advice. Daven for rain now and let it rain to show my son that in fact Hashem listens to your prayers and then he won't be so quick to bother you. So Boy Rachame Velo Asi Mitra. So Rava tried this, he started davening and it didn't work. Rain didn't come. So Amar Lefanav, Ribono Sholom. So he started davening to Hashem. Ribono Sholom, he said, and he quoted a pasuk from Tehillim, Elokim ba'aznenu shamanu avasenu safru anu po'o po'alta b'yameyam b'yamey kedem. So he davened and he said to Hashem, you know, he quoted from a pasuk that, as if to say, back in the old days, Hashem, you listened to us, you did wonders, and now here we are, and it continues, v'anu b'aznenu lo ra'inu. But we don't see any wonders. We're davening for rain, and we're not seeing any special miracles. So that prayer worked. Asa mitra. So it rained so much that even the gutters overflowed into the Tigris River. So that was a happy ending to the story. Asa vua. Now Rava's father, Ischazle Bechalma, comes to him in a dream. V'amrele. And he said to him, Miika Dimitrach Kame Shemaya Kulehai, why did you make Hashem go out of his way and do something so miraculous? Meaning it's one thing to daven for rain in the season, but you did something and asked Hashem to perform a miracle that was extraordinary. Now it's not clear if Rava knew that this was needed to be done in order to save himself, right? It seems like this is an appropriate thing to daven for because he was at the risk of being persecuted by the king. It was only because the king's mother advised him to daven for rain in the summer that he did it.
Yeah, but it's in a dream, so you would figure.
But it was in a dream. What that
he came to him in a dream. Right?
He came to him in a dream, but
you figure that if he's already up there, he knows what's going on.
Yeah, but why was he criticizing Rava for davening? Rava seemed to be doing the right thing, unless Rava maybe didn't know that the reason that Hormuz Malka was saying, if Hormuz was saying daven was to save him, she was maybe just cajoling him to daven, and he was just doing it without knowing that there was a real good purpose that he was saving his life. Maybe that's why his father had a gripe against him for having asked Hashem to perform this this extraordinary miracle. Interestingly, the Marsha points out that the pasuk in Tehillim that he was basing himself on, po'o pa'alta b'yameyam, that back in those days, in the good old days, you perform miracles, was a reference to Shmuel, who had davened for rain in the summer, and it rained. And so, what's the complaint here? If in the Shmuel's time, it was okay for Shmuel to daven for rain in the summertime, why was it not okay for Rava to daven for rain in the summertime? So the Marsha explains that Shmuel was davening for rain in the summertime because the people really needed it. It was a national emergency. Whereas Rava's davening for rain in the summertime was just for personal salvation, and therefore that was the big difference. Okay. The story continues. So he said, why did you make Hashem go out of his way to perform such an extraordinary miracle? You're going to be punished for that. That bad things might happen to you as a result. And so Amar Lei, Shani Duchtech, switch your bed because you're in danger of being punished by Hashem. So you might be better off switching your bed because something that bad might happen to you in the bed that you typically sleep in. So Shani Duchte, he listened and he switched his bed. And the next day he went over to his old bed and he saw that swords had been placed in his bed, something extraordinary, something that happened that would have been a danger to his life, and he was saved by listening to his father come to him in his dream. Okay, Rav Papa Gazer Tanisa V'Lasa Mitra. Rav Papa made a tainis, the rain didn't come. Chalosh Libe, he was so upset. Saraf Pincha de Daisa. And in the middle of his tainis, he swallowed a bowl of porridge. Ubay Rachame, and he davened V'Lasa Mitra, and it still didn't come. Amrali Rav Nachum Bar Shpazdi, And so Rav Nachman, the son of Ushvarti, they changed the Gersa, Isarif Mar Pincha Chariti, the Daisi Asa Mitra. So he said, almost as a way of mocking him, here you made a tinus, and then you started eating. So maybe if you have another bowl of porridge, maybe then the rain will come. He kind of said to him sarcastically. That caused him to be embarrassed. Ichsaf v'chalish daite v'asa mitra. That embarrassment, in the merit of that embarrassment, the rain came. Next, Rav Chanina ben Dosa v'kazel b'urcha. Rav Chanina ben Dosa was going on the pathway. Asa mitra, and it started raining. That was not convenient for him because he was walking home. He didn't want it to rain at that time. So Amar Lofana Ribono Sholom, so he said to Hashem, Ribono Sholom, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Benachas, everyone is now enjoying this bountiful rain. V'chanina, and me, Chanina Bitzar, I'm uncomfortable because I'm walking outside. I don't want it to rain right now. So Pasak Mitra, so Hashem listened to him, the rain stopped. Kimato Beiste, when he came to his house, Amar Lofanov, he said, he davened again, Ribono Sholom, now he wanted it to rain. He's safely home, and he wants it to rain. So he says, Ribono Sholom, Kol Ha'olam Kulo Bitzar, V'chanina Benachas, the whole world now is in tzar because there's no rain. And Chanina, you watched out for me, V'chanina Benachas, you watched out for me, I was comfortable, but now I'm home, you know, please make it rain again. So Asa Mitra, the rain started again. Amar of Yosef, Mayahani Leitzlusa de Kohen Gadol Gavir of Chanina Ben Dosa. So Rav Yosef exclaimed, what good is the prayer of the Kohen Gadol as compared to the prayer of Rav Chanina Ben Dosa? As if to say, Rav Chanina Ben Dosa's prayer is going against the prayer of the Kohen Gadol, which we'll see in a moment. But apparently Rav Chanina Ben Dosa is of such high merit that Hashem listened to his prayer, even though it was in contradiction to the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. What's the prayer of the Kohen Gadol? The Tanan we see in the Mishnah in Yuma, Hayim Espalel Tefillah Katsar Beveis Achizon. After the Avoda was finished in the outer chamber, he would make the following, or he would say the following small prayer. My Matzli, what was the prayer? Ravin Bar Adav, Rav Ba'adav Da'amri Tarvayu, Mishmed Rav Yehuda. They both quote Rav Yehuda as saying, this was the prayer. Yehi Ratzon Melfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, it should be Hashem's will, Shetei Hashana Hazu Geshuma Ushchuna. That this year should be very rainy, Geshuma Ushchuna, and it should also be hot. So the Gemara interjects and says, Shchuna Malaisu is a hot good, meaning why would he daven for it to be very hot? Adra Bagriusahi, that's bad for it to be too hot. Ella, no, Im Shchuna Te Geshuma. The prayer was that if it should be very hot, at least we should get some relief that the rain should come. Im Shchuna Te Geshuma Utlua, that it should be rainy and also the dew should fall. And then the prayer would continue, V'alyikanes t'lofanecha tefilas ovrei drachim. And you, Hashem, should not listen to the tefilos of the travelers. What tefilah is that? The tefilah of the travelers is that it shouldn't rain, right? They don't want it to rain on them. The very prayer that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa had davened, that when he was traveling it shouldn't rain, so the Kohen Gadol asked Hashem, don't listen to them, because then it's never going to rain. There's always someone traveling, so don't listen to the prayers of the ovrei drachim. Rav Acha Brei Derava Misayim Mishmed Rav Yehuda Lo Yadi Avid Shultim Midbeis Yehuda. He would hold that the prayer would continue, that the rulership should never leave Beis Yehuda. Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Misparnei Zeh Mizeh Vola Am Acher. And Bnei Yisrael should not need Parnasa one for another, meaning everyone should have ample Parnasa. They shouldn't need to rely on one another, and they shouldn't need to rely on any other things. The next part of the Gemara relates to the story that's going to pick up on Chafei, so we'll stop there.
But it doesn't tell you why his...
I think it's worth an explanation. The exclamation he was saying, that Rav Chanina ben Dosa must be of such merit that Hashem set aside the Kohen Gadol's and overrode it for him specifically. But generally speaking, Hashem would listen to the prayer of the Kohen Gadol.